Hey you guys, it's the first Tomes of Terror of 2021, so let's get right into it. How I ended up reading this particular book was that the author himself, Evan B. Whitmer, sent me an email and asked me if I would like a free copy of this book to read and review on the channel. So of course I said, sure. It sounded really cool. He said he's like a surrealist writer, and it was kind of like a short story collection, which I like. So I was like, sure, send me an ebook copy. So I got an ebook copy, which is why I don't have the cover. I'll just like put it over here at some point. There it is. Look, the magic of editing. So this book is really interesting. Now I have to say, like, I enjoyed the hell out of this book. Okay. It's like a short story collection, but it's almost structured more like a horror anthology film, in the sense that there's like a frame story and then there's the other stories that are kind of like within the frame, and it's sort of laid out like that. Now, there's two things that are negatives, and I'll get that out of the way first. It's just mostly like little shit. The cover design, as you could see, is really not ideal. I mean, it looked like, you know, it just looks like somebody did it with like a piece of clip art in like 5 minutes or whatever. Okay, I'm a graphic designer, so I'm going to be picky about that kind of shit. So I really don't like the cover. And the interior, there was a lot of typos. Not necessarily typos, but like stuff at the beginning of sentences like wasn't capitalized when it was supposed to be. It's like, you know, there was just like little weird things like that, like little apostrophes and commas and stuff out of place. The book came out the first time in December of 2019, I believe. Now, when you look on the Amazon page for the book now, it says that it's been re-edited by like a professional editor as of September 2020. So I'm not really sure if, you know, I got an old one that wasn't re-edited. Like it wasn't super distracting, but there were kind of like a lot of where I was just kind of like, oh, you know, that should be capitalized, or there shouldn't be a comma there, or there should be a comma there. That's just that kind of stuff. And like I said, I'm a writer too, and I also like edit my own work, and, you know, so I'm really kind of anal retentive about that kind of stuff. But those are really the only two negatives that I have about the book. So like I said, I just wanted to get that out of the way first, just because, you know, I don't like being negative about books. So basically the premise of this, and it's like, I'm not even really sure, this is multi-genre. It's basically the guy, Evan Whitmer, from what I could determine, this might be his first book. I think he like wrote a lot of, he has a website called oddfiction.com, and he's the webmaster of that. And he apparently posts a lot of his stories on there. So I'm assuming that, you know, maybe some of these stories came from that site or whatever. But this seems to be like his first published book. The genre of it, like I said, some of the stories are horror. Some of them are funny. Some of them are like dark fantasy almost, or like satire, you know, black comedy, that type of stuff. So it's really, really hard to say exactly what genre this is, because it kind of like spans a lot of different genres. I will say that a lot of the stories have like a really good sense of humor about them. Like I really, really liked the humor in a lot of the stories. It's very sharp. It's like a surrealist kind of humor, sort of. And it's like, I really dug that. So that was something that was kind of a thread that went through like a lot of the stories. And that was one thing that I really enjoyed about this, is like some of the shit was like really, really funny. So basically, let me see if I can explain this in a way, because this is a weird book. And I'm saying that like in the best possible way, because I love weird shit. You guys know, like I'm really into surrealism and all that kind of stuff. So this was kind of like right in my wheelhouse. So first we have the frame story. Now, this is called Pages from the Pizza Crows. So the frame story is in the first person. So you can imagine that this is the author talking directly to you and talking, excuse me, talking about this strange thing that is happening to him. What begins to happen is that a crow starts coming to his window and like sitting on his windowsill. Now, at first, the crow is bringing him things, like objects. And he starts to slowly discover that every time this crow comes back, like if he gives the crow something, a little piece of food or an inanimate object, the crow will bring him something back, like as a trade, okay? So this kind of goes on for a while, you know, just every now and then he brings like other things, just like random shit. But one day he leaves out some pizza. The author leaves out some pizza and the crow eats some pizza. And after that happens, the crow starts bringing him pages that have stories written on them. So that's kind of like the opening frame. And then he's like, here's the first story that I got from the crow, like after the first time they ate pizza. And then as it goes on, like throughout the book, he starts to discover that the kind of pizza that it is determines what type of story the crow brings. So it's like, what are different toppings, different crust styles, you know, different, whether it was hot or cold. So he starts to like experiment with giving this crow like different types of pizza to see what kind of stories the crow will bring. And intermittently throughout the book, there's little like interstitials that's called, you know, Pizza Crow 5, Pizza Crow 6, whatever. And, you know, he'll be talking, like the author will be talking about how the experimentation is going. And this is the kind of pizza that I gave the bird this day. And this is the story that I got for that. So it's kind of like just keeps popping in like that. So like I said, that's why it's kind of more like an anthology movie in that way, because it has this continuous frame story that's going through the whole thing. So the stories in there are really kind of otherwise unrelated. And I really like, it was kind of like a great concept, because you can take a bunch of real disparate types of stories and tie them all together in this fashion, because, you know, this is a crow, he's bringing these random stories, and the thing that you trade him for, like, you know, makes the story different. So you can get away with a lot of different styles. All the stories are odd, because, you know, it's surrealist fiction, but it's not so far out there that, you know, people are gonna be like, what the fuck, you know, does that mean, or anything like that. They're still, like, pretty straightforward stories, but they're just, like, strange. You know what I mean? They have, like, surrealist aspects to them. And to demonstrate that, I'll kind of go through and tell you about each of the stories and, you know, tell you which one was my favorite and all that other kind of stuff. So basically, the first one, which I really liked, is called Bedfellows. Now, this is about a couple who have broken up. Like, they're still friends, but, you know, they broke up a while back, and I guess, like, the woman has, like, another boyfriend now or whatever. But they have this strange supernatural curse, I guess you would call it, that they can't be asleep at the same time. If they are asleep at the same time, then one of them will transport into the other one's bed, like, physically. You know, and they said when they were together, it worked out pretty good because, you know, one of them worked night shift, one of them worked day shift, so they were never sleeping at the same time. But now that they've broken up and the woman is thinking about moving to Japan, and they're worried that, you know, if she falls asleep there and, like, the time difference and everything, and, like, what if I fall asleep in Japan and then, like, you fall asleep at the same time and then you'll transport yourself all the way to Japan and then you have to, like, get back to your house, and it's like you won't be able to afford it. So, yeah, so that's kind of, like, the first story. So this is the type of story that we're talking about. It's kind of like these kind of surrealist conceits and, you know, it kind of going on from there, like, what happens with when you're in that type of situation, in that type, have that type of curse, and you've broken up and you want to kind of live your own lives, but you can't really do that because you're constantly in danger of being teleported somewhere else, you know, if somebody falls asleep at the same time as you. So that was the first story. The second one is called Polygamy. And basically that one starts out with a dude, and he wakes up in the morning and he notices that his wife, who was sleeping in bed next to him, obviously, is gone. And in her place is a pink metal scalpel. So he goes around the house, like, looking for her. And then he slowly starts to determine that there's something really weird going on in the neighborhood, where all of the dudes are coming out of the house, their houses, like, with different weapons. And, like, some of them are made out of pink metal. And they basically end up having to, like, it's like a battle royale type of thing. They have to, like, fight each other. And I'm not going to say why, like, or how it resolves itself or anything, but that was, like, a really good one, too. It was, like, super violent. And, like I said, all of these are kind of funny, but, like, in a weird, they give me kind of, like, a Twilight Zone kind of vibe, actually, because just these creepy, weird setups. And then with this kind of dark humor, like, under, you know, kind of underpinning all of it. And I really, really like, I just really liked the tone of a lot of the stories. Like I said, I like some of them better than others, obviously. That, I mean, that's always going to happen in an anthology type thing like this. But I mean, I just really, really dug the whole tone of this. Like, the humor of it really, like, hit home for me, I think. So I really, really liked that about it. So the second one, Polygamy, is kind of like a, you know, battle royale type thing with all these dudes having to fight each other. You don't really find out why until later. Then there's one called Captured by Animals. Now, this one I really liked. I mean, this one was, like, really kind of sweet. It's about someone, it's written in first person, and it's about someone who spies on people at campgrounds to get realistic sounding dialogue for their romance stories that they write. And then you find out that this author that's writing these romance stories and is spying on people at campgrounds is a bear. He's like a talking bear, and he's like a romance novelist, and he's writing all this. He's trying to write all this stuff and get this realistic human dialogue. And he has an agent, and the agent doesn't know he's a bear and all this other kind of stuff. So it's, that one's really, really cute. I liked that one very much as well. Then you have one called The Red Constellation. Now, this one is about a woman who is kind of a shut-in because I guess her mom and her grandmother warned her all the time about men attacking them, and they had both been attacked by men at various times in the past. So she's kind of afraid to go out and put herself out there. So she's kind of shy. But when she goes off to college, she decides, you know, hey, I'm going to be more outgoing. And so her group of friends, like, take her out to a bar. They go, like, bar hopping one night or whatever. And she's having a good time. But then when they're going to this second bar, like from the first one, she sees this very distinct red beam of light, like, shining down from the sky and onto the club, and nobody else sees it but her. And this freaks her out very much, as it would. And then this one goes, and I don't really want to spoil this one either, but there's a reason why that red light is there, and it's crazy. I mean, you know, it's like, this one is almost kind of like cosmic horror, you know what I mean? Like, it kind of goes in that way with, like, you know, gods and stars and all that kind of stuff. Something to do with her having a particular kind of curse, I guess you could call it, as well. So yeah, this one was also really good. And then there's one called Young Adult Series Simulator. This one is weird because this one is like a story inside a story. And as I said, this is already like an anthology inside a frame story, but this is a story inside a story. Basically, this story is told from the point of view of someone who is waiting for their date. I guess they set up a date online on, you know, Tinder or whatever, and they're waiting at the coffee shop for their date to show up. Like, this is their first date. And while they're at this coffee shop in this bookstore, they start reading this YA series, which is like, I guess it's supposed to be like all the rage or something. So, and he's like, oh, and I hear so much about it. Maybe I should start reading it. So he kind of opens it while he's waiting for this girl to show up. And so then, so you have that frame story, and then inside it is like, it's almost like a parody of a young adult, like, fantasy series where there's these characters that are like brothers and they're being like pursued by weather gods and stuff like that. It reminded me of like, you know, the Lightning Thief with that Percy, whatever that, with the Olympians and all that, right? I haven't read them. I just know that that's like a big thing. So it almost kind of struck me as a parody of that. This one was probably, I don't know if this was my least favorite, just because, I don't know. I don't want to say that because it's like, they're all good. Like, all the stories are good in their own way. This one I think was kind of like harder for me to follow because it kept, you know, going back and forth from the person waiting and, you know, in the coffee shop and reading the book, and then it would come out and that he'd be talking to somebody else about the book and, you know, all this other stuff. But it did get like funnier, like, as it went on. And I thought it was like a pretty spot on, like, parody of some of these YA stuff. I don't read a lot of YA fantasy, but I know enough about the genre to get the humor of parodying it in this fashion. So, yeah, that was like a pretty cool concept also. Then there's one called F1, which is about, I'm not entirely sure why it's called that, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. But this one was about a farmer who has a broken down old horse named Barfly, who is deaf in one ear and blind in one eye and old. And the farmer is thinking about putting poor Barfly out of her misery because, you know, his farm, he's like a carrot farmer, And he's like, you know, he doesn't have enough money to feed her anymore. She's like another mouth to feed and blah, blah, blah. But then somebody breaks into the stable where the horse is kept. And when he goes in there, he discovers that her sight and hearing have returned, and also that she is pregnant. And she's real pregnant, even though she hadn't been pregnant like a day earlier. So Barfly gives birth to, I don't know, should I spoil it? I don't want to spoil it. She gives birth to something. And it's not that crazy, but you know what I mean. But I don't want to spoil it. So then it kind of like goes on from there. That one's like pretty, pretty short. But yeah, that one was kind of amusing as well. And next up, I think, hard to pick. This might be my favorite story in the collection. This is called 9/10 an Ape. And it's about this anthropologist dies. And in his will, he leaves to his friend and colleague this thing that he discovered. I can't remember where he discovered, Borneo or somewhere like that. I don't know. He was on like some kind of expedition. And he discovered this mummified ape in the jungle that apparently some of the other monkeys and apes in the jungle had been kind of worshipping, sort of. Like, it had been there for like 200 years. It's this mummified ape. The ape's named Lefty because the ape is intact except for its left hand is gone. So the guy ends up, so this colleague of the anthropologist that died, who was also an anthropologist, he ends up with Lefty. And he slowly starts to discover that this is basically like, if you guys have read the classic story, I mean, I think probably everybody's read it because we had to read it in school, The Monkey's Paw by W.W. Jacobs. It's like that, but in reverse, because the ape, you know, the only thing it doesn't have is its hand, is its paw. So basically, whatever you wish for, it will do the opposite. You know what I mean? So you have to like, and then like the shit that it's him and like this other, this girl who was, like a graduate student, I guess, of the guy. And so the two of them like figure out, you know, that this thing grants wishes, but whatever you wish for, it does the opposite, like in a really weird way. So it's almost kind of like Monkey's Paw in reverse. And I think that's how it's described in the, you know, the description of the book that's on Amazon. So it's really, really funny. All the shit that they have to come up with. And like some of the shit that happens is like crazy shit. Like people coming back from the dead and like, it's just like insane, insane stuff. And how they have to word everything and then think about the opposite. You know what I mean? Like, for example, so it's almost kind of like if you wish for something, it will give you like everything but that. You know what I mean? So yeah. So some crazy shit happens in this story. So this was like really, really funny. This might be, this one and the last story, I think, are competing for my favorite one, because this one was just a riot and I had a blast with it. Then there's one called Lethe, which is, it gave me like a weird Midsummer type vibe, because it's almost kind of like this weird town or this weird community. It doesn't really say like where it is or anything, but there's all these people live there and they have just this weird code and these kind of strange beliefs that are sort of religious. And it comes to pass that the main character realizes he's a kid, but he realizes he can't remember anything that happened in his life before he was 10 years old. And he doesn't find this strange at first, but then his parents like start to freak out about, like, they start to quiz him about it and he doesn't remember anything like from when he was 10 onward. And they apparently come up with a reason for why that should be, which again I will not spoil like what the reason is why he doesn't remember anything from before he was 10. But yeah, so that one's pretty cool too. That was like kind of a weird culty kind of one, you know what I mean? So that was kind of cool too. Then there's one called The Bright Idea Room, which is basically, it's kind of like a dude wakes up in a room that's dark and all that's in there is like a red lamp. And then there's another dude in the room suddenly, and then there's a green lamp. And it's kind of like one of those stories where, because I know there have been like a lot of stories in movies like this where people just kind of, it's almost kind of like this purgatorial scenario where they just wake up in this empty room and they can't figure out where they are, why they've been put there, who put them there, you know, if there's some connection between them and shit like that. So it has something to do with the lamps controlling who has whose memories. You know what I mean? If that makes any sense. Okay, so that's what that one is about. That one reminded me very much of, I think, was it a Twilight Zone episode or something like that, where where those five characters or whatever, and they just like woke up in this room. It kind of reminded me a little bit of that, but with the elements of identity switching, sort of. That's not exactly right, but you know, it was close enough. You know what I'm saying. And then the last story, this one, like I said, the 9/10 and 8, the one about the like the monkey's paw one, that was one of my favorites. And then this one, which is the last story, called Satan Spies, I really, really dug this one as well. This one is basically about a guy, he's staying at this motel. He has like a job interview the next day, and he's staying in a motel, and he decides, hey, you know, I've been working really hard, like, to try to get this job, and I'm going to go and, you know, party, because he doesn't usually do that type of thing. So he goes out to a bar, and he meets these guys who are like all in suits, and he starts hanging out with them. Like I think they're at the same hotel as him, and they're kind of having a party in their room. So he just kind of goes and invites himself and goes and has a beer or whatever. And then they start going bar hopping. And I guess because the story is called Satan Spies, I suppose it's not really a spoiler to say that these guys, there are five of them, and they are basically Satan's emissaries, and their job is to go around and witness people's sins. Like, they have to see them, apparently, or the people will get away with it. And the funny thing about it is that this story posits that hell has several of these types of emissaries, like, walking around on Earth, and they're all in different divisions, like, depending on what sin they're witnessing. Like, you got your serial killer squad, you got your gambler squad, you got it. So, but they have to see it happen, so they just go, like, Satan sends them texts, like, on their cell phone, like, where a certain thing is going to happen that has to do with their, with the thing that they're supposed to be, the sin that they're supposed to be witnessing, and they have to go there and just like look at it. You know what I mean? So this regular guy that just kind of stumbled into their hotel part or their motel party or whatever, and then ended up going bar hopping with them into strip clubs and whatnot, he ends up kind of getting involved because he fucks up one of their witnessing jobs, which means that someone might get away with like not going to hell because none of them witnessed the thing that happened. So he has to kind of go and fix it. This was a great story. I really, really liked this story a lot. Like I said, this one and the monkey's paw one, it's kind of neck and neck for my favorite ones. They're all good and they all have a lot to recommend them. But I think those two are probably my favorite. Like I said, other than some issues with, you know, typos, just, you know, capitalization, like some things not being you know, formatted correctly, stuff like that, which is a tiny bit distracting because, like I said, I'm anal retentive about that kind of stuff. But other than that, this was actually really, really well written. The stories are great. There's like a great flow. And I love the concept of it. And I love that you get so many different genres, but it still kind of stands together as a coherent whole because of the frame story, you know, about the crows and the pizza and everything and like the different experimentation. So I thought that was like a really wise move to take these sort of disparate stories like that and then put them all into one package and then kind of relate them to one another through that story. So I thought that was a really, really cool idea. But yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed the hell out of this book. I guess this, according to his little picture on his Amazon author page, he looks real young. Apparently he's from Pennsylvania. He has a rabbit named Goblin. And he said, I used to be a rapper on SoundCloud or something like that, like in a previous life. I don't know. But there's not like a huge amount of information about him. But yeah, this was, so like I said, he sent me an email. So he sent me a free copy of this book. But that doesn't mean that, like, you know, that I wouldn't say if I didn't like it. But I actually did really like it. I love surrealist horror. If you like that type of thing, if you like Twilight Zone type of shit, if you like dark humor, just weird, odd kind of fiction, then you will probably really dig this. And I think more people should read it. I will say it does need a cover redesign, though, because that cover is kind of ugly. But, you know, what are you going to do? So yeah, that'll do it for this installment of Tomes of Terror. Hope your 2021 is going well so far, and I'll see you guys on the next one. Bye.